so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
We're in a brand new series called Prepare. Everybody say prepare. And I want to get you ready for what is about to happen. And on July 30th, which is my birthday, so please write that down, July 30th, that's my birthday. Lemoyne Company, who's building our new facility, is going to hand me the keys to a brand new facility. Yeah. Now, that is a physical thing that is going to happen, but how many of you know things happen in the spiritual, but they manifest themselves in the physical? Things first happen spiritual, and then they manifest in the physical. And I wanted to do this series to get you ready so that you're not just walking and seeing it as something that's happening physical. I want you to see with spiritual eyes what God is really doing. And so last week I started this series. How many of you were here last week in the week one of Prepare? Let me see your hand. Okay, I guess the rest of you were on a float somewhere. I don't know. What were you doing? And so let me catch you up just a little bit. And I said to you last week, and I showed you in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, to make sure our expectations of one another are realistic. And what do I mean by one another? That you would have realistic expectations on me as your pastor and as our team, our staff, and then I would have realistic expectations on you as part of this congregation. And we're in this together. Part of that was my job, and I told you, according to Scripture, Ephesians 4, pastors are to do two things for its people. My job description from the Lord is to nurture your development. That's one. Nurture you. That means to encourage you, sometimes to challenge you, that you will always be taking the next step. Everybody say next step. The next step in your growth and your development with the Lord. It's a lifelong process. It never stops. You never arrive with God. You're always, and I am too, a work in progress. And that's my job, is to nurture that. Primarily, I do that through preaching and teaching and discipling people to help them get to the place that God's called them to nurture it, to encourage it. My second responsibility to you is to prepare you. Everybody say prepare. It's to get you ready for what God has for you. And again, my primary is through teaching and preaching and encouraging you to get ready for that. So when you back up and look and go, there's a significant event that's coming up in 20 weeks to get you prepared for what does that really mean? It's not just getting a new building. I told you last week, it's been 9 years that we've been mobile, a church without a home, and that's about to change. Nine is significant. That number nine means finality in biblical terms. It's the final. It's over is what it means. It's over, which means there's a brand new season that's coming out of this. So when we move into the new facility, it's almost like being born again. It's going to be brand new. Everybody say brand new. It's going to be a brand new journey. How many of you received that word? Maybe you've been waiting for a new season. And as we walk into it, it's going to be a new season for you too. Say, I received that, Pastor Yu. And just a new season. So I want you to be ready. Don't forget, how long does a baby grow in the belly of its mother? Nine months. That number is significant. 9 years, 9 months. So when you drive by Harry Gilbo and you see that building up there, all you're seeing is the belly of a pregnant lady. And on July 30th, it's going to be birth, a brand new season for our walk together in Jesus' name. Amen? And so I want to get you ready for that new season. So I want to, and then we talked about your expectations. I should have expectations of you. They should be realistic. And it says my job was to nurture and prepare God's people, which is you. And then it says for works of service. My job is to get you ready because everybody should have a work. There should be something that you're contributing to this body of Christ that we know it as OSC, our Saviors, that you ought to have two things. You ought to have a friend and a job. That you ought to be doing something for God. That you ought to have a part in it. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. And this is what the promise was. If the pastor will nurture and prepare, and if the people, my expectation on you, will do works of service, then it says, then the body of Christ will be built up and enlarged. That's good. That means we would continue to grow. Everybody look right here at me. Look at my pretty face. Do not ever forget why we are here. Don't you ever forget why we are here. We are not here to have a nice church. We are here to have a messy church. A church that's messy, it means that there's always lost people coming in, finding Jesus. That's why we're here. Don't ever forget why we're here. And so I want to keep us on task and on mission. I want to take you to an Old Testament prophecy by the prophet Isaiah that I believe is not only for the New Testament church, but I think it's still relevant and still a prophetic word, even to a congregation, and we're just one campus of a big church, even to a congregation like ours, I think it's still, that prophecy is still producing and still true even to us today sitting in this very room. And let's go to the book of Isaiah. I think he's talking to us today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 1 through 3. And I'll read it to you. And it says, sing, barren woman, you who've never bore a child. How many of you, I don't know if you've ever had any problem getting pregnant, if you're a lady here. If you're a man and you've had a problem getting pregnant, as you're supposed to. Anyway, singing and barrenness usually don't go together. It's kind of an oxymoron. It's a contrast between I'm not producing anything, but yet the Lord is asking me to sing. I want to talk to you in just a second. And then he goes on, he even goes further than that. Not only do I want you to sing, but I want you to burst into song, and I want you to shout for joy. And then he says, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Again, this is Isaiah. He's prophesying to a barren woman, or he's using a barren woman as the metaphor, but he's really talking to the church. He's, look, I know you might have walked through some seasons that have been very difficult, but I want you to do something in expectation of what your future really is. Because you're going to have more children than the woman that has a husband. The womb is going to open up and you're going to come into a new season. So before you even get, did you know that the Bible says about faith? It's having the title to something. It's having the evidence of something that you haven't seen just yet. Listen, when you drive by, you're just seeing the physical. You have the evidence of something that's about to happen. It ought to make you burst into joy and into song. Can I get an amen? So, and with the expectation, I'm believing something new, something fresh is about to happen. I love the phrase, the desolate woman. 9 years ago, when we walked into Opelousas, I thought and used this very word. The city seems to be desolate. It's not producing. Well, it's not producing in the right direction. Heidi and I met a man in our community that I would consider a historian to Opelousas. And I asked him the question. I said, how did Opelousas get this way? And here was his answer. 1 million steps in the wrong direction. Now, when you think about that, it wasn't one big step or one big decision that got this community trending in the wrong direction. It was a million bad decisions, a million daily decisions each and every day, inch by inch, 1% by 1%, till one day the city, we're watching and seeing it. And I asked him this question. I said, what do you think it's going to take to turn the community around? And here was his answer. 1 million steps in the right direction, little by little. And so Heidi and I left that day and said, that's the title of the book if we ever write it. 1 million steps in the right direction. That simply means all we got to do is keep doing the right thing every single day. And if we'll keep doing the right thing every single day, then one day we'll wake up and we'll see the fruit of it. You'll see the fruit of 1%. Everybody say 1%. Yeah. I'm reading a book called The Atomic Habits. And in the first chapter, the author writes the story of the British cycling team. The British cycling team 100 years ago was the dominant cycling team in the world. We're talking about bicycle road racing, Tour de France, the Olympics. And they were the premier. And 100 years had gone by since they've won a Tour de France, any major cycling, any Olympic gold medals, or medaled at all. It'd been a 100-year drought. They were so bad that even the cycling manufacturers who manufacture cycles refused to give their cycles or to sponsor the British cycling team because they thought it would hurt their brand. That's how bad they were. Until they hired a new coach. And they brought the new coach in and they said, how are you ever going to turn this cycling team around? And he came up with an idea. He said, all we're going to do is look at every single thing we're doing and we're going to get better by 1%. Just 1%. So I'll give you some examples. So they took their shop where they worked on the cycles, the mechanic shop. They painted it all white, even the floor, so if they could found any dust, they could see it, so they could get it off the cycles, 1%. They even went to their athletes and measured their sleeping patterns and came to the conclusion that if they gave them a better pillow, they would sleep better at night. They even looked at their uniforms and found out there was a better aerodynamic uniform out there that they could get, and they got it, just changing everything by 1%. Do you know what happens if you change 1% every single day? If you just do 1% the right thing each day, 1% just get a little better every single day, then eventually after a number of years go by, then you'll come to find out that that compound interest, and then you'll turn around and look and figure out that you traveled way more further than you ever thought you could just by doing the 1%. How many of you could lose a few pounds? You in church, you lie, you fry. You ever thought about it? Go, man, I need to lose 25 pounds. 25 pounds is too much. But if you said, I need to lose a pound, and then if you lost a pound and you celebrated, and then you lost another pound, and then you celebrated, and you just go, I just need to quit eating cake. And if you lost a few pounds and you go, then maybe I could change something else. And then maybe I could start walking 20. How many of you know sometimes 25 pounds is too big of a step? But if you just said, if I could just lose 5. And so all it took is one step after 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 one step. And years go by. And then all of a sudden you feel like, man, I can't believe all the progress we've made. What am I saying to you? Church, listen to me. All we got to do is keep walking in the right direction. One Sunday after the next Sunday. Just keep putting one small group after the next small group. You see little bits of change in every one of us till one day we're going to see a difference. One student after another student. Just one student at a time. We can just see the change till one day you're going to wake up and you're going to go, wow, this is incredible. Sing, barren woman, sing. 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 He said, I'm going to give you more children than you've ever imagined. And watch what he says to her. He goes, okay, so you're singing. Are y'all hearing me? Yes. Are you singing? Are you with me? Going, I just need to sing. How many? Kevin said it a while ago. Hey, the promises of God are yes and amen. If it's not good yet, it just means God's not done yet, but you know, because he is going to get done, he who started the work in you will be faithful to complete it. So why don't you just sing wherever you're at? I know you haven't always lived like a good Christian. Why don't you go ahead and sing anyway? I know things haven't always bore fruit in your life. Why don't you go ahead and sing anyway? I know finances aren't that great right now, but why don't you just go ahead and sing anyway? Why don't you just, because you believe God is at work and his promises are yes and amen. Are you with me? So watch what he says to the church to do. He goes, I want you, watch this, in verse number 2, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. I want you to get ready. Okay, look, do y'all see any empty seats in this room? Yeah, there's a few. There's a few. Y'all do know that your new tent is going to be bigger than your current tent. You're going to be moving to a bigger place. We're anticipating and expecting getting more room because we believe God's going to give us greater harvest in Jesus' name. We're creating more room. And so we're going to enlarge the place of our tent. It's going to get bigger in 20 weeks. It's about to get bigger. We're going to enlarge it. Why are we enlarging it? Because we believe the promises of God are yes and amen. And so we're going to enlarge it. And then he says, not only enlarge the place of your tent, I also want you to stretch. Everybody say stretch. I want you to stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and then strengthen your stakes. If you could just picture back in Bible days, they were a nomad people. And so they would travel with their herds. So they lived in tents. If you could imagine if this was the center pole of a tent and it had stakes that would go to create the tent. And he said, I want you to enlarge them. I want you to get longer cords and I want you to take the stakes out and I want you to spread them out and I want you to get bigger stakes and I want you to, because I want you to increase the size of it. I want you to stretch it out. Everybody say stretch. Yeah. God won't give you more until you stretch out and create more room. Now, what does that mean? For us as a church, it means getting a bigger facility. I'm going to talk more about stretching in just a second. It means we're stretching ourselves. It's how many know it's not comfortable to stretch? But it also works to you individually. It's the stretching out. Why do you think I always say things like this? Hey, if you haven't gone through GrowTrack yet, I know, I need to go get GrowTrack. You need to, why? Because I know it will. And if it stretches you, that means God can fill up more in you if you're willing to stretch. You need to lead a small group. Well, I don't like my small group. I don't want to lead a small group. Why do you not want to lead a small group? The reason why you don't is because you got to stretch and you don't want to stretch. But God doesn't fill up until you stretch. You got to be willing to reach out and do more. And if you're willing to reach out and do more, then God fills up and gives you the capacity, the strength, and the wisdom to do it. I'm preaching good now. I don't know if y'all know that or not. I'm preaching. You're waiting on God, and God's been waiting on you. You got to stretch. My finances. I don't know what's wrong with my finances. I go, no. Why don't you stretch? Have you been faithful in your giving to the Lord? If you just go ahead and stretch out, then it creates more room for God to give you more blessing on the inside. This is better preaching than you acting. It is. You gotta stretch them out. You gotta stretch. When Pastor Jacob comes, I get stretched all the time. Pastor Jacob is my stretcher. Every time he comes, I call him on Monday. Pastor Jacob, how was it? You know, I'm in it every week, so there's things that. When someone new comes in or hasn't been here every week, they see things that I don't see. Because I get used to seeing it, and then you forget about it. But when I call him on Monday, it's not usually a It's not a fun call. He's always very kind. But he's going to tell me the things that were wrong in our service. Well, you know, let me just tell you this. And whoever did the front end that day, they did this. And then with worship, they did that. And then when you got up to do this, I think you can do that better. Have you been to the bathrooms at Opelousas High School? Y'all need to get, you know, he's listing all the things that need to get better, because he knows if we get better, if we stretch, then God will fill us up and entrust us with more. Are y'all tracking with me? It's called stretching. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, give me some room, I'm about to stretch. Some of you really did it. I'm like, yeah. And then he says what? Not only do I want you to stretch out, I want you to strengthen your stakes. And what's our stakes? What is that? That's our leaders. That's our staff. They got to get bigger. They got to grow. I'm just getting you ready for what's about to happen. My job is to nurture you and to get you prepared for what's about to happen. We got to strengthen our leaders. We got to get them stretched out and get them bigger. They got to go so they can go deeper, so that we can cover more ground. Don't forget why we're here. And you go, wow, what is that? Wow, stretching. I'm very excited. In fact, he goes on to say, watch what he says. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. Love this. Left and right. Can I share just a couple of conversations Heidi and I've had behind the scenes where we feel like God is stirring something in us? Can I share that with y'all publicly for the first time? Can y'all handle what I'm about to say to you? Yes, balcony, I can't hear y'all. Can y'all handle this? I'm looking. Can y'all shake your heads or something? I can't see you real good up there. Can y'all handle what I'm about to say? It's been, we know when we open that new campus, it's the center pole. And where is the center pole? It's in Opelousas. That's the center. It's in Opelousas. But we got to stretch to the right, and we got to stretch to the left to cover more ground. We've said this before. We got to start doing more stuff in Karen Crow. We got anybody from Karen Crow up in the house? Any Karen Crow? Y'all Karen Crow? You Karen Crow? Where? Okay. All right. Close enough. We got to start reaching out to North Lafayette. When that new church opens there, there are going to be people that live in Karen Crow instead of driving or looking when they start looking for a church. How many of you know it's easier to drive this way than it is to drive that way? Yeah, we're going to go right up there. There's a new church up there. There's a new church opening up there. How many of you know we got to start reaching? We said it out loud. We got to do something in Karen Crow. We got to stretch our tent out. Watch this. Watch what happened. Cindy DeLena, Pastor Tim's wife, is in charge of our Love Acadiana, which is the outreach arm of Our Savior's Church. They watched what we've all done in the summertime on our serve days when we do these schools and paint these schools and renovate schools, and they've watched it. This group comes and approaches Cindy DeLena and says, we've seen what y'all have done through the schools throughout Acadiana. We've diagnosed eight schools. It's Lafayette Parish, but two of those are in Karen Crow. We would like to get behind what y'all are doing and put some dollars to what y'all have already been doing, but just give you the finances so that you can expand even further. Watch this. It's not until you stretch out and put the stake in the ground, then God supplies all that you need. So even though you may be barren now, you go ahead and start singing in advance because God's not done yet. And when he gets done, you'll see it. You stretch out, then he fills. You stretch out, then he fills. You stretch out, then he fills. And so this year, not only are we going to be able to do a school in Opelousas that we can do two at one time, we can go down to Karen Crow, reach out to our left. Are y'all with me? It still reach our center pole. And then we've even been talking about possibly reaching out to the right. Evangeline Parish. We got any Evangeline Parish up in here? We got any Ville Platte people up in? Let me hear you. Ville Platte. How many of y'all know they need Jesus in Ville Platte? Come on, O-Town. They need Jesus in Ville Platte. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen in Ville Platte. I don't know what's going to happen in Evangeline Parish, but if we can get enough folks coming from Ville Platte, you may force our hand. Will we have a campus one day in Ville Platte? I don't know. But if we started reaching enough of Ville Platte, it could possibly be one day that you may force our hand to have to put a campus in Ville Platte one day. We got to start stretching out. I'm so excited. I don't even know if this is going to happen. I'm so excited. But we're already working on plans now because of our new facility. Can y'all handle this? Balcony, can y'all handle this? We're so excited about the possibilities in our new facility. Stretch out, stretch out. We put all the technology in that we can Facebook Live our services so we can go live. Thank you. But we can also simulcast. So we're even going to meet with some of our correctional facilities. We're going to meet there. We're talking about actually taking a, and this is how I knew, we knew from since Delta Grand days that we needed to do something. And I even had a dream one day of walking into Delta Grand and everybody was wearing orange. I saw it. Some of you have worn orange before, I can tell. And I go, could it be possible? What about the possibility? What if the parish let us come in and we could simulcast the service? We could start a brand new campus inside of the correctional facility. We can pipe it in live. And on Sunday morning, I can say, welcome, OSC. We want to welcome all of ours from the correctional facilities, our spiritual family. Would you give them a round of applause? We love you. Could you imagine that? And they're in there going, yeah, that's us. Can I tell you something funny? It's not funny, but it is funny. In Lafayette, some of our small groups do a Lafayette Parish ministry. They had some extra Christmas gifts. They called St. Landry, said, could we bring it for the prisoners? And they said, yes. And they come in, and they're giving it out in the name of Our Savior's Church. And then some of the men that were in the correctional facility says, where's Pastor Yu? Which says to me that they've already been in our house, in our doors. Then they had to go and do their time, which means they were part of a family. Now they're not part of a family. Why don't we just start a family there? So when they do get out, they're already a part of us. They can walk in and go, I've been through Grove Track already. I want to be a greeter. Could we just go ahead and build a bridge? Yeah. Just start another. What am I talking about? Okay, listen to me. The church can only stretch if you are willing to stretch. We can only stretch. What do I want you to do? I'm glad you asked. Help me out, Vic. I'm just going to give you three simple thoughts. What do I want you to do? When we open up the facility, what is my job? Prepare you. What's my job? Prepare you. You get this little window of opportunity. There are people in our community. I see them every week, and so do you. When y'all going to get that church done? We're going to come see y'all when y'all get that church finished. And you've done the same thing. Why don't you come now? No, we're going to wait. We're going to wait. We're going to wait till all the work's done. And we're going to show up. We're going to wait till y'all move in, get all the pictures hung like that. Then we're going to come on. So y'all need some help? Yeah, that's when they're coming. They're coming. That's when they're coming. Heidi and I have been working on this one lady in our community for 8 years. 8 years. When are you coming? I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. When are you coming? When y'all get that church built. That's when we're coming. Listen, that's when they're coming. Number one, let me give you the first one. Be an inviter. That's going to stretch some of you. Be an inviter. Invite people. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last 20 years on television, TV commercials, radio commercials, billboards, flyers, websites to get out the word. Can I tell you still the number one way that people come to church? When they see you and they see the difference in you, they're open to coming, and it's by invitation. We should have just gave you the money. Some of you go, I'll take it. It's still the greatest way. It is a personal contact with someone to bring them. This window is going to be open where people's hearts, it may just be curiosity. By the way, this is not how you invite people to come to church. Y'all need to get yourself in church. That's not the way. Let me tell you, when you do that, here's what they hear. You're not as good as me, and you need to get your stuff together because you're a mess. That's what they hear. That's not what they need to hear. What they need to hear is you to go, you know what? God's been working on me too. I've been in the same exact place you are before. Can I just tell you something? My church really helped me, gave me perspective. Man, when I leave there, I feel better than when I came. Pastor Yu is handsome. He's funny. And you're going to be challenged. You're going to leave there feeling better than when you came. I'm telling you, their hearts are going to be open. So you got to stretch a little bit. You got to become an inviter. Do you receive that? It's still the greatest way. Everybody who leaves here, if this is your church, you have to become an inviter. It's the way people get connected to walk into a facility like this. It's a big church. People are going to walk in. I don't know anybody. I'll save you a seat. Hey, our new church, we got a coffee shop. Come. If you're first time guest, you get free coffee. I just made that up. Can we do that? Yes, we can. You're paying for it. Can we do that? I'm asking you. Y'all are paying for it. Can we do that? Free coffee? Okay, all right. You said we could. Bring them free coffee. Come on. Come. So you got to invite. Number two, you got to be an includer. So here they come. They're going to come. I love this scripture. I love this passage of scripture. It's so easy. It's ridiculous. Romans 15:7 says this. So warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified. Do you want to bring glory to God? Yes, I do, Pastor Yu. Of course I do. Then you should be a welcomer into God's house. That means there should be, if you don't know somebody, you go, hey, I just want to introduce man. How long have you been coming? Don't ever say, is this your first time? I'm just telling you about mistakes I've made. I go, is this your first time? They go, Pastor Yu, I've been coming here for 2 years. I should know that. You just ask this question. Go, how long have you been coming? Be a welcomer. Oh, this is our first time. Oh, it's your first time. Let me show you around. My name's Saul. You got kids? Let me help you. Be an includer. The day the church quits taking the steps in the right direction is the day that we start thinking, this is messing our church up. We want a messy church. You don't want a nice church. You want a messy church. church. People are going to come in with problems, situations. You welcome them just as Christ welcomed you. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Are y'all with me? Welcome. By the way, can I just step on off into something I probably shouldn't? If you're black, make sure you go welcome white boy. Hey, white boy. Don't say that, but you know what I mean. If you're white, make sure you go across and introduce to your black brother. Make sure, because you don't want that out that's out there slipping in here, because people want it down. Everybody wants it down. So get your hands up on there and rip it down and go, when you've got a small group, make sure if you're a black small group leader, say, let me invite some white folk. We need to get some white folk up in here. And if you're white, go, we got to get some black folk up in here. Listen, it makes it more fun. It's more fun. Thank you, my brother. You got to include. You got to be an includer. You got to be an includer. And number three, you got to be an investor. You got to invest in it. You got to invest in it. Your time, it's going to take some time. It does.
I'm gonna work children's this week. I'm on the schedule.
It takes some time. It does. It takes time. Invest with your talent. If you got skills and gifts and skills, look at me. Our church is not as good as it could be right now. I just want to be honest. It's not. And you go, how do you know that, Pastor Yu? Because you haven't invested in it, because it'll get better when you invest in it. It always gets better when someone new starts investing in it with their talent. You might be a singer. You might love people. You'd be a greeter. You may love children, work in nursery or children's church. You may love students, being a part of that team. Maybe tech people. I met a girl after service. I want to do the technology stuff. I'm into it. Awesome. Let me connect you. Our church is never as good if someone's not adding to it. Our church could be better. Can I get an amen? It could be better, but it's waiting for you to be the investor, because it only gets better when more people invest in it. And let me give you the last one. You ought to give your treasure to it. Look at me. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I can say this with conviction, because Heidi and I have lived it. Our treasure is in the kingdom of God. Your treasure. Put your treasure into the kingdom of God. He says, look, there's a place that you can store it up. Moth won't get it. Just rust won't get it. We live in South Louisiana. How many know moth and rust will get everything? No, he said, nothing will get it. You invest in kingdom. Invest in the kingdom. And I've been doing this for 30 years. I've never heard this from a tither. Never in 30 years. Pastor Yu, I've been tithing for the last 5 years. It just does not work. I've never heard it. Never. Never. Because it does work. And because God does honor it. And he blesses you in other ways and measure that you can never come up with. And you got to go. The only answer to that is God. I don't know. How did that happen? I don't know. It's God. I don't know. It's God. It's God. Just God. God. God, we invested in kingdom. This is what God said to David. Because you wanted to build my house, I'll build yours. Do you want God building your house? If the answer is yes, then you make sure you build his house. And if you build his house, then he'll build your house. And you'll go, what a great relationship we got going on. I keep giving to God, and God keeps giving to me. Amen? Do you receive this word today? All I'm asking you to do is this window opens up, and it's going to open. Be an inviter, be an includer, and be an investor. And we're going to watch God do some pretty miraculous things. It's going to be awesome. Amen? Let me pray with you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Father. We receive your word today. You're talking to us. Stretch out. Stretch out. Stretch out. It's uncomfortable. For some of us, that means taking our next step, going through Grow Track in a couple of weeks. For some of us, it's stepping out, getting in a small group. Father, it's that next step, getting on Dream Team, starting to serve, starting to invest. Father, being an inviter, that's a stretch. Being an includer, walking across the aisle to greet someone, to warmly welcome those into the house of the Lord. Father, we receive your word as we get ready for what you're about to do. Father, we rejoice in it. We're expecting. We're singing. We're shouting for joy. Thank you, Father, for your incredible, incredible grace to us. In Jesus' name. Christians, would you keep your heads bowed? Everyone across this room, start praying for your row. Today, I just want to ask you this question. We just had the funeral for my 91-year-old grandmother. It was an awesome funeral. Because I know where she's going. She's going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? I don't know, Pastor Yu. Can I tell you, you can know? In fact, it could be sealed. Your eternity could be sealed today. How's that? Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom of heaven until you've been born again. Born again. Well, I've been christened. That's not what he said. I've been baptized. Those are great things. But until you've been born again, how do I get born again? It's as easy as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. Romans tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're in a room full of professional sinners, and I'm all pro. We've all sinned. B, believe that Christ came. He lived a sinless life. He had to die on a cross. He did it to pay for your sin and mine. He took our guilt, our sin, and our shame. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior today. If that's you today and you'd like to be born again, this is your invitation. I'm going to pray for you right now. All I ask that you would do is say, Pastor Yu, that's me. I want to be born again. No one's looking at me. Would you just hold your hand up high all over this building right now and say, Pastor Yu, I want to be born again. Pray for me today. Hold your hand up high right now. Hold it up. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. 2, 3, and 4. Hold it up. Thank you, sir. 5. I'm looking in the balcony. I see your hand, ma'am. 6. Thank you. I see your hands. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these today. Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together for each one of those.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.